Gracious Holy One, we thank you. Regardless of how situations are presently, it is well, with my soul. We thank you for our inward peace. Continue to speak a fresh word into our hearts and souls and minds to remember that our sins have been forgiven. Hide us behind your cross. Continue to let us focus on you. And let the cross be a reminder of our salvation and the victory is already claimed through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me call your attention to your sermon notes, and our scriptorial passage for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 21 and the last five verses. Listen as John is writing, John chapter 21, as John is writing his Gospel. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but that if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning. You follow me. You follow me. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. You follow me. Well, if you look at John, the 21st chapter, which concludes John's writing as he gives us the scope of Jesus' life and ministry, that is totally different than the other three gospel writers. In fact, if you look closely in our text today, starting with the 20th verse, you see John using that term of endearment once again when he makes reference to himself in the text, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, you can imagine that the rest of the disciples were not in total agreement with this phrase or this terminology, if you will. Matter of fact, if you look closely, as John gives us a detailed description of the conclusion of the whole matter, that one known as Peter, the rock, the spokesman of the group, if you will, self-appointed, would not agree, because I'm pretty sure Peter felt that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. But yet and still, all of those disciples who followed Jesus left their various occupations and became volunteers, if you will, to follow Jesus. Today we recognize Volunteer Sunday, a time for us to share in the fellowship hall to recognize volunteers. And if you're a volunteer in any committee group or part of any organization, feel free to come. If you're not, still join us. Maybe God will prick your heart to volunteer later on this year. But in the text, you'll see that it consists of three individuals: Jesus, Peter, and John. Oh, the Bible has a way of speaking to our day and time in which we live as well. Yes, there was some dissension among the disciples, but never was Jesus all focused. Jesus was always focused on the will of his Father. And I contend that it's easy to be a critic. But the question that I want to ask, are you seen as a critic or an encourager? For the Bible teaches us to be encouragers and to encourage others, not to be critical. We can easily see that done and play it out on our television set. And God has not called us to be critics. He called us to be encouragers, to participate in the mission and ministry of God's church. Let me ask you, do people, when you walk in a room, do they smile and happy that you have come into the room? Or are they more happier when you leave a room? Yeah, because it's easy to be a critic. It's easy to be a person who's always sour, who always wants to put little raindrops on the atmosphere. In fact, let me share with you, and I shared it at the previous services and even yesterday. I want to tell a story about a woman who was washing her clothes. And long before we got all of these electronic gadgets and automatic gadgets and dryers to dry clothes, and we live in that day and time, they used to hang clothes on a line. You remember that? Clothesline. Well, this woman would wash her clothes at least twice a week, and she would hang them on the line. But she had a neighbor who always criticized her. In fact, her neighbor would supposedly be washing dishes, but she would look out of her window and she would criticize this woman and the way she washed clothes. So much so that they would do it at least twice a week. And she would say to herself while she was in the kitchen, you know, doesn't she know how to wash clothes, how to clean clothes? And she got her dirty laundry on a clothesline. And she criticized her at least twice a week. But then one Saturday, she looked out of her window, supposedly to be washing dishes, and lo and behold, she said someone has finally told her how to wash clothes. And her husband overheard her. And her husband said, "Dear, her clothes are always clean. I just cleaned the windows of the kitchen." Yeah. Yeah. How critical are you? Are you looking out of your own lenses that are dirty and can criticize somebody else? Jesus had a way of talking about this. Jesus said, before you try and, you know, get the speck out of someone else's eyes, get the beam that is in your eyes. We must remember, God has not called us to be critics. He called us to be encouragers. And if any disciple should have been one who would encourage others, I believe personally it should have been Simon Peter. You look at the life of Simon Peter and just look at his long biographical sketch. It is Simon Peter whose brother introduced him to the Master Jesus. Andrew was really the first disciple, but even if you read the other gospel writers, they always list Peter first. It was Peter who made himself like the self-appointed spokesman of the group. It is Peter who claimed he was ready to defend Jesus at any cost. Yes, it was Peter who denied Jesus how many times? Three times. And it was after the resurrection when Peter wanted to go fishing, according to John 21, when Peter wanted to go fishing, six other disciples said that they would go with him. You remember that? And they fished all night and caught how many? Nothing. But it wasn't until Jesus was on the shore when he told them to cast our net on the other side that they caught abundance of fish. Then Jesus, he cooked the fish for breakfast for the disciples. But then he had that one-on-one time with Peter. And Jesus Christ asked Peter three times, "Do you love me? Then feed my sheep." As though he was saying, feed my children. And then he asked him again, "Do you love me? Feed my lambs, feed my adults." And they had to say it again because they're adults. And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know all things." And Jesus reinstated Peter. And if anyone else should have been an encourager, it should have been Peter. He reinstated him to the faith. But look what Peter did. Peter immediately, after he had that conversation with Jesus, John gives us a description that more than likely John was right behind them. And Peter kind of looked over his shoulder and said, "What about him? What about that rascal? What are you going to do with John?" And Jesus Christ was able to say to Peter, "If he lives till I come, what is that to you?" In other words, that's none of your business. How many, well, don't answer, but how many of you know people who don't mind their own business? Jesus was saying, in essence, don't worry about what's going to happen to John. You just follow me. Keep your eyes, keep your focus on me. Peter was so consumed with what was going to happen to John, he even missed the interpretation. Jesus was not saying that John would not die. But if he decided that John would not die, so be it. You just follow me. You look at the life of Jesus and how it plays out, and you'll see that Jesus was about his Father's business. You recall when Jesus was a boy, he was in the temple and his parents were there. Then they left the temple and Jesus was still in the temple. And the Bible says he was teaching the scholars and the scribes. And then his parents got back with him and they asked him the question about what he was doing. And what was his answer? "Don't you know? I must be about my Father's business." Even Jesus himself was a good follower. He was willing to follow the will and the ways of his Father. And he was teaching Peter as well as us today that we must be about our Father's business. Don't be concerned how God blesses the person on your right or your left or in front of you or behind you. Just know God continues to bless you each and every day. We're called to be volunteers to share our gifts and graces. Lord, have mercy. I know I can't play the strings or sing, but there's something that I can do for Jesus. Many of us, we desire to have this talent and that talent, but just use the talents that God has given you at your disposal. They're all good for the glory of God. You look at this passage here and you'll see how Jesus calms the waters, even in the life of Simon Peter. Let me help you fill in the next part of those blanks in your sermon notes. It says Jesus' response to Peter's question about John was simple and profound. Here it is. What is that to you? You follow me. That's the words that Jesus was sharing with Peter, and he shares that with you and me today. Don't be so preoccupied about those who criticize. Just keep working for the Lord. They're going to criticize you if you do it and if you don't do it. But God will continue to bless you because we all one day are going to have to stand before God and give an account of the deeds of the things that we have done in our lives. And look what Jesus is sharing with Peter. He's reminding Peter to stay focused. And the cross reminds us how to stay focused on Jesus. You look at the cross, and the cross should remind you of the sin debt that Jesus paid. And the choir is correct. It is well. It is well with my soul. It doesn't mean everything is going fine and dandy, but it does mean that I have that inward peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank God for the cross. It reminds us of the victory that we have through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The world is celebrating and acknowledging the life and legacy of the artist known as Prince. But listen to these words by Prince in one of his songs. There will be bread for all of us if we can just bear the cross. Sweet songs of salvation a pregnant mother sings. She lives in starvation. Her children needs all that she brings. We all have our problems, some big and some small. Soon all of our problems will be taken by the cross. End of quote. Now, Jesus said it a different way. Jesus said, and those of you who have your Bibles, if you look at Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 24th verse, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must first deny yourself, take up your cross, and do what? Follow me. That's what he was saying to Peter. He was reminding Peter to deny yourself. Don't worry about John. Don't quit looking over your shoulder. Focus on me. Deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow me. Coincidentally, if you look closely, when Jesus called all of his disciples, he would say the same words, follow me. He was reminding them to follow him. You and I are called to follow Jesus. I shared at the previous services as it relates to Dr. Harry Ironside. Dr. Harry Ironside talks about a missionary. And we had a missionary from Africa who was in our last service. He shares as it relates to the missionary who was assigned to go to China with a team and to assist in translating the New Testament as it relates to the life and the works and ministry of Jesus into the Chinese language. An eminent scholar, Chinese scholar, was assigned to him. They worked side by side for days, for weeks, for months, translating the New Testament into the Chinese language. This scholar, Chinese scholar, he worshiped Confucius. And after they had finished and concluded their work, the American missionary asked him a question. After we have participated in this exercise and we have concluded now as it relates to the New Testament and ended with the book of Revelation, does this make you want to become a Christian? Wouldn't you like to become a Christian, a follower of Jesus? That Chinese scholar said, I would love a Christian to witness to me. And I would love to follow Jesus. If I ever meet a Christian, I would love that experience. That missionary was hurt to his core. He was offended. You know how we can get. Some people just overly sensitive. He said, but I'm a Christian. That Chinese scholar said, I haven't seen it in you. We've worked together day in and day out, week by week, months by months. And all of I heard from you was complaint, complaint after complaint. You complain about your coworkers. You complain about issues that were going on in the United States and around the world. I haven't seen Christ in you. That missionary at that moment, he confessed to God and asked for forgiveness. And then he Ask the Chinese scholar for forgiveness. And the Chinese scholar concluded by saying these words, "Well, now perhaps I just met a Christian." What do people see when they see you, when they see me coming? Do they see a follower of Christ? Do they see that I want to be connected to Jesus Christ, our Lord? You look at the text very carefully, and John was writing as it relates to all the mission and ministry works of Jesus. And John realized, and he says, if I put everything down, the whole world could not contain it. But he's given us this gospel for it to make a difference in our lives. And thanks be to God that God's word from Genesis to Revelation reminds us of the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. For if you look carefully, the historical books, those books that begin the Old Testament, they deal with the foreshadowing of Christ. The portrait books deals with the anticipation of Christ. The prophetic books deal with the foretelling of Christ. The gospel books deals with the records of Christ. The epistles explain Christ. But when you get to Revelation, Revelation just glorifies Jesus Christ. He is to be glorified as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But let me conclude and help you fill in your sermon notes. The Gospel of John book has ended, but Jesus' work, what? Continues today. He's counting on you and me. The hemologist said it this way. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. Sometimes I feel discouraged. Sometimes I think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revived my soul again. If you can't preach like Peter or pray like Paul, just tell the world the love of Jesus, and he died for us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised.